Saturday of the sixth week of ordinary time. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and following. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were attested. By faith, we understand that the universe was ordered by the Word of God, so that what is visible came into being through the invisible. By faith, Abel offered to God a sacrifice greater than Cain's. Through this, he was attested to be righteous. God bearing witness to his gifts, and through this, though dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was found no more because God had taken him. Before he was taken up, he was attested to have pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For anyone who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned about what was not yet seen, with reverence built an ark for the salvation of his household. Through this, he condemned the world and inherited the righteousness that comes through faith. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, we don't have time to cover everything, but just a few points. Faith is the starting point and the bedrock of any relationship with God. We all have to work at it, like the father of the boy of the gospel that says, "I do believe, help my unbelief," because faith is tested through trials, and also it's tested in easy times because it may become feeble. And so we all need to work at faith. What does it mean to work at faith? It's to be disciplined, to turn to the Lord, to hear his word, just like you're doing now, and let it go deep into your soul through prayer. You know, Jesus often said to his disciples, "You of little faith," and they had left everything to follow him. So by saying that, he was not putting them down, he was encouraging them to have more faith, because they saw his signs and his miracles, and still they will backslide into the old ways. So the Lord challenged them in this way. So Hebrews chapter 11, the one we're in, is the Bible's greatest chapter on faith. And this is the key line, I believe, here is, faith is the realization of what is hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. It is the realization of what is hoped for because as we bring into our daily lives that which we hope through faith, it becomes anticipated, it becomes realized. When we give evidence to things not seen is when we act because we are convinced they exist. So faith is the realization of what is hoped for. We bring it into the present through our faith. For example, I believe in the Lord promises about heaven. Well, I live according to that promise, and so I already begin to have the first fruits of heavenly life by living in love, by appreciating my brothers and sisters, by having inner peace. So I have an anticipation of heaven. It's the realization of what is hoped for, even though we're not in heaven yet. And it's evidence of the things not seen, because, for example, I believe in Jesus Christ reigning as Lord of Lords in heaven. My behavior gives evidence to that as I live as a subject of that King. It's a beautiful line about what faith is about. So then St. Paul says that the ancients were well attested because of their faith. Who attested them? God. Honor them. And that's why then he mentions the people he mentions through scriptures. They are men and women who live by faith. They believed in the things that God said and they put them into practice. So in modern culture, faith is taken as if it were to believe in things that don't make any common sense, but you still believe in them, like believing in Santa Claus. That is not faith. In fact, the Catholic tradition always has taught that there is a unity between faith and reason. For example, the Vatican Council, the First Vatican Council, taught, although faith is above reason, nevertheless, between faith and reason, no true dissension can ever exist, since the same God who reveals mysteries and infuses faith has bestowed on the human soul the light of reason. Moreover, God cannot deny himself, nor even contradict truth with truth. If you want to go deeper into this, I recommend the encyclical of John Paul II, Faith and Reason. Finally, remember that faith is a way of knowing. Faith is not against reason, but goes beyond reason because it perceives that which cannot be perceived with the senses or deduced by logic, but which God has revealed. And we can live accordingly and testify that it is true, because it really changes our lives and it brings us into a harmony with the existence of others. It brings about good. A faith that did not bring about good would not be real faith. So it does not deny but complement reason. Finally, we can say that faith gives evidence of what is unseen. That evidence is the life of the saints. We see in them the good that they brought about. So bringing about the good doesn't mean that the saint lives a easy, pleasure-filled life. That's not the good. The good is that it brings himself and others into a right relationship with good that can be attested to and evidenced because there is goodness in that life, in that relationship. The gospel is Mark chapter 9, verses 2 and following. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, the disciples no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He told them, "Elijah will indeed come first and restore all things. Yet how is it written regarding the Son of Man that he must suffer greatly and be treated with contempt? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. My dear family, this event of Mount Tabor, the Transfiguration, happened right after the Lord announced for the first time his passion. Now, for a brief moment, the veil of ordinariness by which they saw Jesus is lifted, and they can see him in his glory. And they are totally amazed, of course. Well, going up the mountain is symbolic of what Moses did. He went up the mountain and he saw God, and he received the new covenant, the old covenant, the commandments. Now they are seeing God in Christ. And they see Elijah, the prophet, and they see Moses, the lawgiver. And so together they represent the totality of the Old Testament, and they're conversing with Jesus. Jesus is now to be seen as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And what were they conversing? They were conversing about how Jesus is going to give his life. But Peter still does not understand. Peter wants to make three tents. He wants to stay there in that experience. Had not Jesus just told them just a few days before that they were going to Jerusalem, that he was going to die there? Had not Jesus reprimanded him, saying that, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like men do and not as God thinks"? And here we go again. Peter wants to stay there. He doesn't want to go to Jerusalem. That has not yet burned into his mind, this understanding. And so he just takes this event and gives again his own opinion. You see how we are? That's Peter. That's me. That's you. Yes, yes, we believe, we love Jesus, but in every step of the way, we go again to our old self, not remembering what he has just done, what he has just told us. This is a Trinitarian event. The Holy Spirit is now symbolized by a cloud. Remember, a cloud came upon the Virgin Mary, and that was the Holy Spirit. And so from the cloud, God the Father speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son," and gives a command, "Listen to him," because evidently they were not listening. They were coming up again with their opinions, with their ideas. You see, in prayer, the most important thing we need to do is to shut up and listen. and soak it in and allow the truth to burn into our soul, into our mind, what God is telling us. Only then, with great humility and care, we can pray by speaking to Him. But the most important part of prayer is always listening, receiving, and allowing what we receive to really touch us and take us into the path, into the way of God. Now, they are called to obey the commands all the way to the cross. That's their destiny, to be joined with Jesus. And they too will one day be transfigured with divine glory. May the Lord bless us. May we, as we experience great moments, great retreats, great encounters with Jesus, may they strengthen in us the resolve to be one with Him all the way to the cross.